Liveline on RTE Radio 1 with Kia. Full EV or plug-in hybrid? Go electric with Kia. For more, log on to kia.com.
Tim Crowley. Tim, good afternoon. You there, Tim?
Can you hear me?
Loud and clear, yeah. Tim, you said, I think it might have been a text, you said, I'd love to see Fianna Fáil, Fine Gael and the Greens come together to form a club. Well, you got your wish.
Yeah, well, I suppose running a Michael Collins Museum near Clonakilty and have a big interest in all of the history of the War of Independence and Civil War, it's one thing I think would kind of finally take the shadow of the Civil War off the country. Mm-hmm. If Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael, the two opposite sides, or descendants of the two opposite sides in the Civil War, would form a government, and in this situation, they seem to be coming in with the Greens. So I think it's a moment of history, and when we look back at the suffering, with that generation having fought the War of Independence against the British and achieved a huge level of independence for the country, then to end up fighting each other in a terrible civil war, and we've heard all the stories of brother against brother and all the things that happened, and to think it has taken almost 100 years really to for both sides to come together. I think we're kind of witnessing history there.
It's interesting. That's fascinating what you're saying, Tim, because the main takeaway from the deal today has been, Leo Varadkar is going to step down as Taoiseach and Micheál Martin is going to be Taoiseach until December 2022, isn't it? And then Leo, whoever, steps in again. But you're saying the main thing for you is this is the first time Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael will be in government together.
Yeah,
the history
that's right.
Of the
I suppose whatever will happen after the 4 or 5 years, I suppose things will never be the same again. And whether there will be a Fianna Fáil or a Fine Gael at that stage still, or will they come together? The chances are, I suppose, Sinn Féin at that stage might come to the fore, and you would have normal sort of right and left wing politics there, or centre left, centre right, that you have in most countries in Europe and so on. Up to now, we haven't had that because you had these two huge parties who, as I say, descended from the Civil War divide.
And it's over now, 100 years later, just less than 100 years.
Well, I think the people who went through that conflict, and you know, the sadness, and you know, not alone people, great leaders like Collins and different leaders on the anti-treaty side dying and so on, and with the executions, and families in some situations, mothers afraid if her two sons came to visit at the one time that a gunfight might break out inside in the kitchen, and all the stories that you hear. Yeah. And finally, I think that shadow is being lifted as we speak.
It is hard to explain to the younger generation today why a coalition of Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael means so much, given that the atrocities of the Civil War, as you say, brother and brother on brother, neighbour on neighbour, Ballyseedy, the execution of prisoners in Mountjoy, just the horrors of it are even hard to revisit, aren't they?
But you know, I often thought to myself, what kind of a nation are we to, you know, do what we did, fighting the British, as we said, and ended up fighting each other in the Civil War? But there was some academic, I can't think where, done some research, and I think with all the revolutions around the world from about 1890 to 1980, something like 70% of them later evolved into Civil War. Mm. So when people go to Spain on holidays, I go there the odd time myself. I spend a small bit of time in the sun, but then I go visiting some of the Spanish Civil War sites out there, and our Civil War was only like a skirmish compared to what happened in Spain with Franco's side and the Republicans and so on, and they're still finding mass graves and so on out there as well, and the same thing applies to Gettysburg and what happened over there in the US. But it has happened a lot, and I suppose when you're very enthusiastic revolutionaries who, in our case, they wanted to get rid of the British out of the country and gain our freedom, sometimes some of those people find it very hard to compromise, and in most conflict situations, I suppose, it does end up in the end in some kind of a compromise anyway.
And the Civil War went on for 10 months, and by the way, December 2022 will be the 100th anniversary of the foundation of the Free State. So that's an interesting time for Leo Varadkar to become Taoiseach again. But the civil war in many ways is still there, because I mentioned Ballyseedy and then I'll mention Baile na Blá, which obviously is near you, where Michael Collins was shot, but was assassinated. But and Ballyseedy, where what, 15 men were blown up by the state forces. But there are still commemorations which Fine Gael don't attend, and commemorations that Fianna Fáil won't attend. But now they're in government together.
That's
you follow
right.
me?
Yeah. Well, I suppose, especially if you go into rural areas, not so much applies now anymore in the cities. If you can get a person in a local valley or whatever that would have a knowledge of all the families, in some mm-hmm. situations they can still pick out. Well, that was a Fianna Fáil house. That's a Fine Gael house. And if you go back like Parsa Kerry and so on, as you say, you can actually trace that back to the split during the Civil War. So in some places that is, and I suppose you still have daughters and sons and daughters of the people who lived through that period still alive, even though they're getting very old at this stage. But, you know, you still have that. You needn't dig too deep in certain parts of the country to find those feelings still do exist to a certain extent.
Do they, yeah. The Civil War Civil War animus still exists.
Well, as time goes by, it gets less and less. But we'd meet visitors now at the museum from all parts of the country, and sometimes you get a little comment, and you'd say, well, you know, obviously something must have happened back in their history to have they kind of have ideas like that and so on. So those. I remember there a few years ago, we had an American from Tennessee came to the museum, and he was talking about the Northern War of Aggression. And he would have been from the southern part of the U.S. And that was a term used by the South after that civil war. So obviously, you know, you could see by that comment that something had happened, or where he'd come up with that particular phrase, you know. So it takes, especially with the wars, all wars are bad, but civil wars are particularly terrible, and where your family is being split and so on. And it takes generations.
There are 10 months and nearly, the figure is contested, but around 1,300 people killed in 10 months in Ireland is horrific, as you say, brother against brother. The argument is Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael, why don't they simply merge?
Well, that could happen, and it may well happen in the next number of years. I suppose this is the first step. This is a major step, I think, a historic step, and then who knows where it's going to lead after this.
Okay. Well, Tim, when is your centre reopening, by the way?
Now, we've got a few family members that are vulnerable with COVID and so on. So we're actually taking another 2 weeks. So we're opening on Monday the 13th of July.
Okay, good stuff. Okay. Yeah. Say well, that's Tim Crowley marking this historic day. Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael are going to go into government together if the members and the Greens so decide.
Joe Duffy!
Talk to Joe on 1850-715-815.
Okay, people are talking to us about the new government that is imminent, it seems. Fianna Fáil, Fine Gael, historic, and the Greens. All three have been in coalition before. The Greens were both at different times. But Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael is what's echoing with people. Maurice O'Sullivan. Maurice, good afternoon.
Joe, how are you doing?
What do you think?
I feel betrayed, to be honest with you. I feel the country voted for change and the people haven't been listened to. And, you know, we've had 30 years of FFG between the two of them, and the only people I thought that would come in and make a difference for the people of Ireland would have been Sinn Féin, Greens, and somebody on the left or independents, and it's not going to happen. And I was telling your researcher, I was hoping my daughter might be able to return to Ireland with my grandchildren from England, but I can't see that happening now under this government. I can't see it.
Okay. Sinn Féin did try and get a coalition together, but they admitted after a very short period it wasn't possible.
Exactly. But the thing that annoyed me about it was, when I was talking to your researcher, was the language that was being used by FF and FG was that under the term, oh, we'll never go into coalition with this crowd. And now it's a different story. So to me, power, benefits, pensions, 5 years on a gravy train now at the taxpayers' expense, and there's going to be an exodus out of this country.
And who said in the election campaign, Maurice, who said in the election campaign that putting Fianna Fáil back in charge of the economy would be like putting John Delaney back in charge of the FAI? Who said that, do you remember?
I wouldn't be too knowledgeable on I'd agree with it.
It was Leo Varadkar who said it, didn't he, in one of the debates?
Yeah.
And he said it about Fianna Fáil.
Going back with Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael, I'm the youngest of 10 kids. My older brother sisters are dead and buried and pensioners in England. And now my kids are over there. That's what's hurting me and my family and lots of people in Ireland. You know what I mean? So okay. I think that, I'll give them a shot at it, but I really feel betrayed by the Greens. People gave them the power to come in and say to this FFG that have been in for 30-odd years, can you imagine being in government for 5 years?
But it is a very green agenda, in fairness to the Greens, given they've only
won 12 seats. But is it going to benefit Ireland or benefit the world? Who benefits from this? Not the people of Ireland. You know, Joe, would you love a job that you could go into for 5 years, come out of it, and then have a pension for the rest of your life?
Well, that's the rules have changed since. But
it has to change because it's costing us too much, Joe.
Okay, stay with us, Mark.
Thanks a lot.
Mark Mendel. Mark, your point, please.
How's it going, Joe?
Good, yeah. Go ahead, Mark.
Well, I just found it kind of ironic and interesting that the two big parties, or the historical parties, are congratulating themselves on finally getting together after 100 years, whereas our brothers and sisters in the North were kind of forced to do it immediately. You know, the guns were barely cold and they were in government together. So I think it's a little bit self-indulgent on behalf of the parties down here, and perhaps we should give a little more credit up north where it's due.
Okay, so you're saying what happened today was like the Good Friday Agreement down south for slow learners.
Wow. For very slow learners.
And what government would you have liked to have seen, Mark?
Well, I would like to have seen Sinn Féin and, you know, kind of a more left-wing government. I do think change is needed, and I am happy that the Greens appear to have gotten something decent out of it. Now the question is whether they'll be able to, to make it happen.
Dermot Ford is on the line now. Stay there, Mark. Dermot.
Hello, Joe. How are you?
Good. What's your position on this historic day, as we're told?
I think it's a great rapprochement of the two traditional Civil War parties, because the rupture that occurred 100 years ago was tragic. Now, my father fought in 1916 and all through the War of Independence, and in the Civil War he took the anti-treaty side, but he was devastated by the Civil War for the rest of his life, despite he had been interned in the Curran and Mountjoy and went on hunger strike for 37 days and so on and so forth. But when he died in 1971, there was a number of his comrades who were still veterans, still alive, and we, his family, asked for the Guard of Honour to be provided by the veterans, that it would be composed of four anti-treaty survivors and four pro-treaty survivors. Because the treaty debates, if you ever read them, they were really very sad and very difficult to read and very difficult for everybody involved. And De Valera, whether you like him or don't like him, put it well towards the end of the debates when he said, "We have had four glorious years and now we come to this." And I think 100 years later, I am really pleased to see the two antagonists of the Civil War come together again, and hopefully they, together with the Greens, will be able to lead well and develop our country as it should be.
Okay, and people forget, I know I mentioned Batty Seedy earlier on, the massacre, and the atrocities on both sides, but at one stage when the anti-treaty forces were, they assassinated a government minister, Kevin Egan's, the retaliation for every attack on a government minister or a TD, the retaliation that the state imposed was that they would execute an anti-treaty prisoner either in Mountjoy or Kilmainham, was operational then as well. It's just incredible. And some of the people that they ordered to be executed had been close friends of theirs previously, including serving as each other's best man or best man. That's how...
Let me tell you this. When I was 9 or 10 years of age, I saw my dad getting dressed one day. We lived in Clontarf, and he was getting dressed in his good suit and a white shirt and black tie. And I asked my mother, "Where is he going?" and she said he's going to his brother's funeral. I never knew the brother existed. They had never talked in the previous 50 years because they'd taken opposite sides in the Civil War.
That's incredible.
Yeah, that's the truth. So it was a huge rupture. And 100 years later, much like Mandela and de Klerk in South Africa, I think it's great to see this rapprochement coming together again. I have no party politics, but I do have Ireland always to the fore.
Yeah, and I'm looking at the list I've been handed of the prisoners executed during the Civil War. Like 18 years of age, one of them, James, what's his name? I'm trying to find it here on the page. James Fisher, 18 years of age, executed in Clonmainham Jail on the 17th of November 1922. The list goes on. 19 years of age, James O'Connor, Patrick Bagnall in the Curragh Camp. 21, 22, 20, 22. These are their ages. Incredible.
Yeah, my father always said that he was in jail in Frongoch and in Stafford Prison after the Rising. And in the War of Independence, he was in Mountjoy on hunger strike in March 1919. But there was a 37-day hunger strike in the Curragh in Mountjoy in 1922. But he always said that the treatment when he was incarcerated in the Civil War was far worse than it had been in the War of Independence or after the Rising.
Okay.
Because people say that there's nothing more fierce than a battle or a war between brothers.
Absolutely.
Brothers literally and brothers metaphorically.
Okay, and well said, so well said, yeah. Okay, Dermot, thanks to the...
Talk to Joe on 1850-715-815.
Now back to the historic coalition deal that looks imminent maybe as well for a lot of people. Fianna Fáil, Fine Gael and the Greens, with Micheál Martin becoming Taoiseach in the very near future and remaining Taoiseach until the 100th anniversary of the foundation of Free State in December 2022. Stephen Kiernan is a member of Fianna Fáil. What do you say of today, Stephen?
Hi, Joe. Good afternoon. I don't agree with those who say this isn't a government of change. I think this is a government of absolute and seismic change. As a previous caller said, the first time in history we have Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael coming together in coalition. Mm-hmm. I mean, the country faces huge challenges, particularly after COVID, and we need to look forward from 2020, not back to the 1930s. I mean, to paraphrase Mo Molan, we need to learn from history, but we don't live in history.
Okay, John O'Byrne is in Dublin 12. John, your point, please.
Good afternoon, Joe. Joe, it was just the point that you made that Michael Collins was assassinated. And an awful lot of people, when they hear you on the radio making a statement, they take it as fact.
Ah, no, they don't. But anyway, go ahead. What happened to Michael Collins?
Well, he wasn't assassinated. He was killed. He was killed in a gun battle. But, you know... John F. Kennedy was assassinated, Martin Luther King was assassinated, but Michael Collins wasn't assassinated and he wasn't murdered.
He wasn't the target, no?
I mean, you see, what do you consider an assassination? That one person goes out or two people go out deliberately to kill that one individual?
Well, why are we fighting about this 100 years later, John? Why are you so upset about it?
Sorry, John, why are we...
Why? Michael Collins was murdered.
My line has gone really bad.
Okay. Michael Collins was murdered. Do you accept that, John?
Joe, the only thing I can say to you is I had a relation who was very close to Michael Collins.
Okay.
Who worked for him for a long time, a female.
Yeah.
Who was a relation of mine.
Yeah.
And she talked several times about the person who was with Collins when he died.
Yeah.
Which was an ex-British Army officer, and everybody knows his name, so I won't bother even mentioning it. Well, everybody should know his name, but I won't bother mentioning it.
Dalton, isn't it?
Dalton, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
And he was an ex-British Army officer.
Okay.
So, yeah. Look, the facts are, he arrives on the road, his troops all take off.
Should Tom Barry was an ex-British Army officer?
Oh, yes, yes. There was lots of very good...
Why are we still fighting about the Civil War?
Joe,
that's my question. Why Michael Collins was killed? He's dead. Finito.
That Michael Collins.
Isn't that the point? Why are we fighting about the Civil War? You're now splitting hairs. You're saying You're saying that Michael Collins wasn't murdered, he wasn't assassinated, but he is dead.
Yes,
and he
Joe,
did die aged 42.
The point I was making, it wasn't splitting hairs about the Civil War. In fact, it hadn't anything to do with the Civil War. It had to do with the fact that when you make a statement on the radio,
okay,
people accept it as fact.
Ah, they don't. People are
very bright. Yeah, but they do. You see, like, you have a certain
Okay, but you make
a statement.
Well, can we agree?
Should be correct.
Can we agree that Michael Collins is dead?
Oh, yes, Joe. Okay. I visited.
Can we agree that he died in the Civil War?
Yes, Joe.
Can we agree that he shouldn't be dead?
Yes, Joe.
Okay, Claire Leonard. Claire, your point, please.
My point is, I'm actually embarrassed and upset for the people who died in the Civil War and the people who died fighting for our independence, because we've turned the country into a captured state with our hand out to foreign powers. Mm. And in between October and December 2008, the ECB sat down with the Bank of England and decided that large segments of Irish society were non-core and to be cleansed and eliminated. Hence, well over 1,000 people committed suicide because of the decisions.
Claire, suicide is just so.
I know
cruel.
It is, but what
I don't know
I'm
where
saying
I know I don't know I don't know where you're getting those facts, those figures
I
from.
I can get they're documented.
And,
facts.
Well, I'd love to see the documents. I really would.
Well,
I will send them to you, please, Claire. And I'll read them out. And I'll read them out tomorrow. I know it's very serious, and no. What went on in this country in 2008 and indeed before it? And the
No, it went on outside the state. It went on with the Bank of England and the ECB. I will send you the contracts. I know what I'm talking about.
Okay,
I study the international monetary system.
And Claire, you're saying the Bank of England and the ECB, in Frankfurt
sat down together.
Together. And what did they conspire to do?
They didn't conspire to do. They did. They took group accounts. So if you have a bank in Ireland, their parents would be based in the UK. They took their group accounts, and dealing through the group accounts, they segregated Irish companies as non-core, and their customers were to be cleansed and eliminated, even if they were not in default. I have all the proof.
Okay.
I have the proof.
Okay. Well, when you say cleansed and eliminated, what does that mean?
They were to be put to the wall. They were to be declared insolvent financially.
Well, we know that the ECB said, warned Ireland that if we didn't bail out the banks.
No, that was later.
And pay all the bondholders, even the,
that was
the junior
later.
Bond.
I'll stay up.
Okay. Send me those documents if you could, and I'll sit up
I'll
late tonight
evening,
reading
okay?
them. Okay. I'm over time. But there's people now queuing up. On this debate over what happened 100 years ago, what happened 15 years ago, which needs to be talked about again and again and again, and what happened today, which is that Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael, and that's the thing that's igniting our listeners. Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael are in a historic coalition, probably by the end of this week, if the voting moves along quickly. Okay, Maeve Meaney was the BCO, Nikki Dempsey was in sound, Richard Byrne, the research, Rebecca Meehan, the series producer, and Catherine Thomas is next.